listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have with me once again Michael Hudson. Michael is the CEO and chairman of Hannon Metals, which is exploring various massive sedimentary-hosted silver and copper targets in Peru. The company has recently attracted a major Japanese company to a joint venture of a portion of its holdings there, about a third of their holdings, in fact. And that's a move, I believe, that reduces the risk of this small-cap company. And without taking away what I think is a very, very significant upside potential, given the near-surface scale and also the high grades that have been reported from the surface samples. Hannon trades in Toronto under the symbol HAN. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol HANNF. I've got 85.3 million shares outstanding, only 30 cents Canadian, giving it a market cap, as I say, 26 million in Canadian numbers, which is minuscule compared to the other major landholders. I think something like over 2,000 square kilometers that Hannon holds. Puts it right in the middle of some giant companies like Rio Tinto, like Fresnillo, Peru, Vale Exploration, BHP, Billiton, and Newmont. These are giants, and actually Hannon is right in there with those big guys, but with a market cap very small compared to those guys that have multi-billion dollar market caps. Michael, thank you so much for joining me again.
Jay, always a pleasure.
So you have this massive land position. We've talked to you about it before, and I guess it was in April when we last spoke. Give us an update. I guess it was right after you joined up with Jogmec, that's the Japanese company, in a joint venture at San Martin. It was right after that we last spoke. Talk to us a little bit about that, what your plans are on San Martin, where Jogmec can actually earn, I think, 75% by spending upwards to $35 million U.S. money. And deliver a feasibility study. But what are the plans right now for that San Martin project on that joint venture arrangement?
Jogmec are the Japanese government, Jay. They're the branch of the Japanese government that goes out searching for metal supply for Japanese industry. They're very good long-term partners. They've helped build many projects worldwide. You can hear my accent. It's Australian. And now, the Japanese were instrumental in building what is our largest export today, the iron ore business, back in the 50s and 60s. And so they've had a long-term strategy to support the industry in this way and of course, support Japan's growth in that way. So they've joint ventured on about a third of our ground holding in Peru in this sediment-hosted copper-silver district, and it is a district. We're talking over 100 kilometers of strike alone in this Jogmec joint venture. We did the deal back with them in December. We got on the ground at the start of December, and really the last 6 months have been a rapid growth of understanding, permitting, and de-risking the project. So we started back 6 months ago with boulders and a few outcrops and evidence there was a lot of copper in the system. And since then, you know, we've had literally, 20 plus people in the field doing a lot of work and de-risking this huge, vast scale of a project down. So, basically, scale definition, I think, is what we're talking about. And so we've been doing a lot of geological mapping, understanding, and the big breakthrough has actually been with soil sampling, a common technique in our industry, but it's demonstrated continuity at the tens of meter scale in the right geological horizon over, I think, 18 kilometers in one area that we're focused in at the moment. So we're starting to see the de-risking of the continuity, And then we're applying some fantastic technologies. We're working in fairly challenging terrain. So even the soil sampling, we're getting real-time assays with portable XRF guns, which are handheld instruments that give us real-time information. And that allows us to sample that double the rate, which basically means you're really increasing your chances of discovery and that definition. And we're just about to fly $500,000 Canadian LIDAR survey over the area, which is another very cool piece of technology that really has only come leaps and bounds in the last few years in terms of being able to map the rocks and the geology beneath this canopy. So lots has been happening, plus de-risking with permitting, which will lead towards drilling.
And drilling is, of course, what we want to see, I'm sure, as a shareholder. Surface samples are always very nice, and especially you're saying you're seeing continuity from the soil samples. That's encouraging. But what we really like to see is that third dimension, you know. That drill, the truth machine goes down and suggests you've got X number of meters of mineralization, and that gets people excited. When might we start to see some drilling, either on your own 100% owned properties or the San Martin that you're joint venturing with JOGMEC?
The most advanced from a geological perspective is San Martin with JOGMEC, and we announced back in May the start of the DIA, or in English that would translate to the EIA, which is the process to obtain drill permits in Peru, and we could only do that when we really knew where we wanted to drill. That's one of the challenges of having such a large system. Where do you focus on early in the piece? And that was where all that geological and geochemical work that we've done over the last 6 months has sort of focused us towards. So that process, to simply answer your question, Jay, will take most of this year, and we will be drilling early next year. Q1, ideally, maybe late Q1, Q2 is probably the realistic timeframe that faces the industry. But we're doing it properly. We're doing it appropriately. We're working with the local people who've given us approval to be working there, and that's the key step, which many companies hit a hurdle if they can't get the locals to sign off on that work and where you'd like to go. So that's where we're at.
The drilling will take place first, and first will be at San Martin, and then I guess...
Correct.
What sort of drivers might we look for in the meantime, though? I mean, are there other, I suppose, surface samples you'll be talking about over extensive strike lengths, or what? What can we look forward to?
Yeah, so I touched on it before. So, I mean, we're still working over this huge area. We've had to focus because everybody wants us to drill, and you've indicated that, and we want to drill to determine
sure.
the tenor of the system, but we're dealing with such a large system here. So we're still running regional stream sediment surveys to de-risk, to focus in on the larger area and work out where stage two drill area will be in stage three. And then we're doing lots of reconnaissance geology. This LIDAR technology, which is laser scanning through the forest to the forest floor, which can help map the geology, will be infinitely helpful in terms of understanding that pancake geology where the mineralization forms. We'll be able to chase it. We'll be able to see where the faults and structures are and understand more about the controls of mineralization and really start getting to the next level of not just trying to find copper, but trying to find the highest grade copper parts of the system, which is really the key here. There's a lot of copper, and now we've got to start finding the grade, and we know the grades can be very high in this system. You know, we're seeing boulders and outcrops commonly from 5 to 10% copper, which is really unheard of in the industry in terms of the scale that we're seeing it at.
And, of course, all this extra work that you're doing, if it can help you pinpoint those high-grade sections first and early on, that will be very helpful to your share price and the ability to raise capital later on. Peru just had an election. You've also had to deal with COVID, which has been really burdensome, I think, for people operating in Peru. Where do both of those, maybe you could comment briefly on both of those issues, the politics as well as COVID?
Well, they're so intertwined, I think, worldwide now, Jay, so we can talk about them in the one sentence, really. I mean, Peru has had a very bad outcome from a COVID point of view, especially outside the major cities. I think they've had the highest per capita death rate from COVID on a global level. We're dealing with it right now. It's something that we have to work very hard to keep the people we employ and the stakeholders in which we go and work free of COVID in a country that's still really struggling to get on top of things. Fortunately, vaccinations are just starting. I mean, I think the US has been fantastic. There's been hundreds of thousands of Peruvians who've traveled up to the US to be vaccinated, as they haven't been able to get the vaccine in country yet. So it's improving, I think, but still there's a lot of bad outcomes. And then that's led to a rising by the disaffected classes, basically, who haven't had those facilities to help them during COVID. And Peru has seen a huge amount of wealth generated over the last 25 years, but it's really gone to more or less half the population, I think you could say. The other half hasn't seen that move to the middle class that half the country has. And as it's going through this change, that other half that hasn't seen the change and has been affected by COVID has had a louder voice, where the world's changing and allowing everybody to have a stronger voice. And that's led to an election that was basically split almost 50-50 between two very different end members, Castillo, a Marxist and a left-wing politician who wants to return a lot of the country back to the people and has had a lot of rhetoric that hasn't been helpful to our industry. And especially earlier on in his campaign, he tempered it as he started to lead. And then on the other side was Keiko Fujimori, whose father really was responsible for bringing Peru out of the quagmire during the early 90s when it was an uninhabitable, uninvestable country for most of us, right? So it's been really interesting. It's separated by 40,000 votes, I think, across the whole country, really polarized city and country people. And Castillo looks like he's going to get across the line, but being challenged, it's a month since the election, no decision's been made yet. But I think there, of course, will be changes, but Peru really, really relies so much on the mining industry that it will be business with some changes and highlight what we just touched on before. Those relationships with local stakeholders and local communities will become even more important.
Right. And smaller companies like yours, a lot of times, I know maybe by necessity or whatever, tend to do better with locals than some of the big guys that have more connections with the politicians at the top. So, well, it's going to be very interesting. Are you well funded then? I think a lot of the funding is coming from JOGMEC for San Martin, right? But you're okay. Your funding needs taken care of for now.
They are, Jay. We've had upwards of $1 million of warrants come in over the last week. We announced back in April there was another $1 million of warrants. So we're self-funding the company through warrant conversions, and then JOGMEC, who are spending 100% of the dollars at San Martin. We've got many crews working on our two-thirds of the ground, looking for new sediment-hosted copper and porphyry copper golds that are as equally as exciting, and we can fund that exploration out of our own pocket without a problem.
All right. Anything else you'd like to mention real quickly?
It's just an unusual company, Jay. We're really breaking new frontiers. The opportunity is huge. Peru comes with its risks, but risks that I think are manageable. And I thank you again for your interest in Hannon.
Oh, that's absolutely an exciting story. We'd like to see those drill results tomorrow rather than a year from now, but it is what it is, and I think it'd be well worth waiting for the results. Well, thank you very much, Michael, for spending the time with us again, and we'll look to do it again sometime in the near future, hopefully. All right, folks. Well, that's it for this segment. We do have to go to break, but don't go away because former New South Wales judge and author Michael Pembroke will be with us to talk about his latest book titled America in Retreat. Very important, I think, for Americans to get this perspective. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Michael Pembroke.
Voice America is available on your Google connected device.
Okay, Google, play Turning Hard Times into Good Times podcast on iHeartRadio.
Try it today.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barikoff.
Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.